Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary. Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Friends.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesca, also known as K Friend. Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the Friend Zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
Is she the reason that you hesitated coming back?
I wouldn't give her that much credit.
Really?
Absolutely.
How do you feel about her now?
I don't have a feel.
What do you mean?
Just what I said.
She is speaking openly in the press now.
Well, very good for her. Continue to speak very openly.
Openly.
All right. Now, that was a voice that I'm sure you all know very well. That was Kim Kardashian when she was being questioned about Kanye West's new girlfriend, Julia Fox. I continue to speak openly. Like NeNe said, that was actually NeNe Leakes in an interview season 12 of Real Housewives of Atlanta. But I played that clip because really quickly, really succinctly, I'm tired of Julia Fox. I don't know who the fuck she is. I don't know where Kanye dug her, what gutter he dug her up out of. I'm tired of looking at her and her cuticle biting, red tit finger having ass. I'm sick of her. I'm tired of the weird makeup. I'm tired of the leather clothes. She always looks like she got to pee. And where did she come from anyway? I don't understand why she's here. Ain't nobody jealous. And as you can see, Kim Kardashian don't care either. Welcome to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a Julia Fox? I know Fran don't. I know Asante don't. Hey, Fran, how you doing?
Absolutely not.
I'm over here for those watching with my Marvel mask, apparently.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
What's my Marvel name, Asante? Solar? Is this like, this is giving solar?
Oh, hold on. Because, you know, it's got to have something else. Oh, you know, Solar Lotus.
Hey, that's cute.
Fran, you know what her death weapon could be? You could kill him with kindness. Fran, you could literally kill him with kindness. Fran would be the only villain that was nice to motherfuckers and took them out, you know?
And then they go out peacefully, too. They're like,
yeah.
Like, they just go. And it's like,
I like
damn,
this.
Fran.
I like this. Put a pin in this.
They always go down beautifully. The solar
also, Dustin was making fun of my look today. He said I look like a Wait. He said I look like a Portland rocker. I can't even get it out.
Go ahead and shake their hair right quick.
It wasn't even that. Her hair was still a little wet when we first started. So it was the way it was like hanging. It showed emotion. You know what I'm saying? Just, she looked like a musician in that. That's why.
Y'all are so funny. Okay, so let's do some reminders before we get into this week's episode. Those of you on Patreon, we will be doing our live stream today. Because this is, if you're listening to this on the day it dropped, Wednesday, we're doing our live stream at 5 p.m. PST, 8 p.m. EST, Eastern Standard. Make sure you check us out. We'll be hanging out for about an hour, whatever y'all want to talk about, whether it's this episode, last week's episode, previous episodes, and whatever wants to come up. It'll be like a shoot the shit with our fans.
Unless it's my business.
Like Asante called it, the wind down. Yeah, which I really, really like that. So we'll be dropping the link, obviously, on Patreon a couple hours before we go live. Asante's handling all the tech for that. Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We'll be on StreamYard with you guys. So just look out for that. Also, I will be teaching a class at Miriam Hazanea's school, New Earth Mystery. Again, y'all know I usually teach. Y'all know I usually teach her first class of the year. It's been like, 4 years now, which is crazy to think about. So I'll be there doing.
They got their degree.
Okay. I'll be
time
teaching a course called Conscious Code Switching. about code switching with your consciousness and when to use it, how to use it, and how to move through the world with it. So it's going to be an incredible conversation. She covered the 1.0 course that already went live a couple weeks ago, and then I'll come on top of that with a 2.0 course, English would be nice, that drops on Sunday at 10 a.m. PST, 1 p.m. EST. Definitely check that out on MariamHasnaya.com. That's MariamHasnaya.com. And of course, I'll drop the link below and on our social media, on my social media, and just kind of make it easier for you guys to find. So wanted to get that out the way. I don't know if you guys have any announcements you'd like to add to the mix.
No.
I'm all good here. Just said, kicking it with you all. I do want to dial it back, you know, now that you've given me a window, and then you can go right back to being serious. Dustin mentioned Kardashian earlier, and y'all know I don't speak on many things K anyway. Somebody said something about, I mean, this is just all me, right? Somebody said something about the Kanye getting another Ray J mixtape. And do you know that took me down a mental rabbit hole?
Whoa.
I know it was some
Kanye
some
getting a what?
Another Ray J, Kim K sex tape. I don't know what I said. Thank you so much.
Because I wanted that to hit the way it needed to motherfucking hit, because I got something to say. So go ahead.
That took me down a mental rabbit hole of what if Kim and Ray J got back together? Because Ray J and Princess aren't still together, are they? They ended that, or they decided to stay together and be dysfunctional? Anyway, if they are not together, it took me down the randomest mental thought of, like, what if they decided to get back together? And I never care about anything Kardashian. So that I just had to put that out there. Y'all can have
it. So how would you feel if they did?
That would actually be very interesting, just because Ray J has, like, moved in so many different formats, and like, Kim has, too. Like, they have both grown and evolved in such different ways and manners, and they both have stayed sane. So
I saw some fan fiction on Twitter too, where they were saying, what if he got back with Amber Rose?
That's how you shake the table.
So just a whole it's a whole episode of Wife Swap.
I would listen to his music if he did.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I like Amber Rose. She is what could fix him. Amber Rose could fix him. Because as she has remained present in her celebrity and actually grown in her celebrity, Amber has always been very vocal about the right stuff. She'd be on the right side of issues. And Amber is the anti-everything that Kanye West is. She would never get back with him. But, you know, in a perfect world.
We live in a crazy world. You literally don't never know. We've heard crazier things. So
okay.
Let's jump into this week's Black Business. I actually wanted to shout out this sudden rise of Black designer bags. Have y'all gotten into the mix of it or not? I think it's the best, honestly.
I peeped it. Brandon Blackwood, Telfar, and just all these brands. Philip Loving from Michigan. So many Black brands.
So many Black brands. And I've actually started like a little mini collection, which I think is really cool, because then I wear them out and people be like, oh, that bag is so sick. And it kind of makes me, you know, like, well, it's, you know, Telfar or Brandon Blackwood or whoever, you know, and it's just super cute to me. I'm also not really like a bag girl. Like, y'all know me, I be having my little hippie bags from Free People, Anthropology. I have maybe like 3 or 4 designer bags that are just like classic staples that I think people should have, just me being a tourist. But I'm really not the like keep up with the seasons and shit.
I thought you just didn't want us to be asking you to hold our shit. I was like, Fram just don't want us to ask, and that would be a Fram move. Instead of me saying no, I just ain't gonna bring a bag. You know what I'm saying?
She's like, my clothes is baggy. This is the only bags I'm holding.
Right.
Literally, my oversized ass clothes. But so I discovered a young designer by the name of Antoine Manning. Okay, he's only 22 years old, y'all. He's a Jamaican American designer. From the Bronx, currently living in Atlanta. He started designing this bag in 2014, but crazy enough, it didn't pop off until last year on TikTok. Oh, TikTok.
Oh, wow.
Shout out to TikTok.
Right. Changing lives out here. Somebody posted a video of their unboxing of it, and then it just caught fire. And now you can barely get your hands on it. I mean, it sells out like the sneakers app, and he even got a collaboration with Saks Fifth Avenue because that's right. Good. Isn't that so fly? Because of how, you know, the supply and demand, people really, really, really wanted this bag. So I don't know how y'all say the word. Do y'all say homage, homage, or homage? Because I know there's three ways to say it.
Homage. Anytime I get an opportunity to say the word, I'll say it each and every way I can. Whenever I know words can be pronounced differently, I will pronounce them differently every time just to fuck myself up. Just
I never know which homage, one is homage, the right one.
I only say homage if I got dress shoes on. that's
it. Apparently that's like the French, you know, the French way of saying it. So it sounds, you know, homage. But I'm gonna guess that he is saying it like homage year, just because I think that's kind of rings better, you know, it sounds better. But the bag is called the Homage Year, and you can get one at homageyear.com. So that's HOMAGEYEAR.com. Look, I actually have mine here.
Oh, dope, friend.
Isn't that adorable?
Yes, dope as hell. Yeah, dope.
For those of you watching, he has a collection. It's 8 different colors. He has it in purple, blue, pink, red, brown, all the really dope colors. And the cool part is
that you can hit somebody with it. It looks like it, boom, you know.
They all have different, like, affirmative words on them. Like, one of them is intuition, growth, you know, like, based on what energy you want to carry when you're carrying the bag.
Isn't that cute? I love that.
Of course, I was drawn to that and had to get one. The one that I got, I think it's the growth bag. So that made sense considering my life this past year.
And it's green, honey. The money going to grow. That's what I'm talking about. Yes.
Growth in a lot of ways.
Okay. Bag of lady.
I'm crying. So the cool thing too is that he's a writer. So each bag comes with its own poem. And I'm gonna be real with you.
This is so dope.
Poetry to me is usually super cheesy. I'm sorry, but
we've talked about it before.
We have. But he's so good. His poems aren't cheesy. He's just like a cool ass kid from the Bronx.
Good for
you know,
him,
and his poems are super lit. Like the one that he wrote for this green bag, which I'm actually wrong. It's not the growth bag. Excuse me. It's the tranquility bag.
That's how money make you feel. Like everything is good and pleasant. Oh, you comfortable. You comfortable.
Okay. So the tranquility bag has a beautiful poem about looking forward to life being peaceful and just like, you know, very started from the bottom, now we're here type vibe. So I love it because I can relate, and I thought the bag was just perfect for me. I can't stay, y'all. If you want to support young Antoine Manning, please. Congratulations, because you're really, really killing it.
Yes, that is once super, again, super fly.
Isn't it so cute? Homageyear.com, HOMAGEYEAR.com. Check out the bag. Support him.
Buy that bag.
If you're not looking into buying any bags right now, at least spread the love. Tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody. And that's this week's Black Business.
So we already knew about Young M.A. This week we learned about Young A.M. What's his name? Antoine?
Antoine Manning.
Antoine Manning. Get money, man. The money man. That's what I'm talking about.
And I saw that Telfar dropped a couple new colors, too. I'm a huge fan of Telfar. He dropped like a margarine color. They dropped the leaf color today. That's like a really dope, vibrant green. Yeah. So
I saw a new style too. It was like a
the clutch,
like the circle. Yeah, the clutch with a shoulder strap to it too.
Yep.
That motherfucker was hard.
It was super dope. It's the clutch version of their logo, which is like so cute. I'm actually waiting for that one to drop because I'm definitely going to cop that
one. I think I found the first piece I'm going to get, y'all.
Oh,
but it ain't no bag, though, because, you know, I don't carry bags, you know what I'm saying?
The bucket?
Yep, that bucket. I want that bucket hat in white.
Me too.
That motherfucker dope. I seen that. I was like, oh, it's a little sexy.
Wasn't there like a Telfar, or did I imagine a Telfar gym bag? Or is it?
I haven't seen one.
Like a bucket.
I don't know.
I just keep envisioning like them tees on the side. Like, I don't know if it was a picture or something. I saw a concept, but I was like, dang, that
if
would be
so. If they make
hard,
me, so. y'all know that big ass North Face Supreme backpack I have, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if Telfar makes if they would make like a huge utilitarian like backpack, I would buy that motherfucker in every color they make. Like that would
I'm sure they will.
Big mountain biker style. Like I want a big ass, like huge backpack. You know, I got a lot of stuff. A lot of baggage.
I bought their they dropped the dope puffer bag. Did you see the black puffer bag? It looks like a puff coat.
No. Mm-mm. Let me see.
It is so cute. It's upstairs, but it's so cute, y'all. Like I ran to get that. I was like, this is a dope ass bag. Very New York. Very New York. It's like, why you got a puff coat bag?
That team is kind of Telfar is killing it though.
They really are.
Killing it.
I saw that bag. That
the Telfar television. Ain't it though? It's cute. Yes. They have two versions too. They had like a leather, like real leather, but that one was expensive. I think it was like 800, 700. I wasn't ready to drop that yet. But I dropped what I dropped for the puff one because I thought it was fly. So support them. I think it's really dope that we have this rise of black designers. Yes, it's super cute.
Me too.
So y'all ready to get into the hot button today?
Yeah. And find out the reason that why your hair looks like that.
I do. I look like the little boy. The one that can talk to animals.
I was thinking about the main character, but
yeah, that little boy the main was character so too.
Oh, true. Where
are
my glasses at?
One of the cartoons was fine, too. One of them cartoons was fine. I was like, it finally clicked. Yeah. I didn't realize that. For all these years, I never knew why people got into you. Look at
there we go. I needed my glasses.
This just went. I am at a crossroads.
So you won't be lonely. So you won't be lonely.
Wait, please.
What are you talking about?
Both of you. Because Ray put on the glasses right when you said something. And we're not going to.
She saw what I was saying. That's what I was going to paint a picture. I was going to paint a picture.
Everybody, this is my fault. Fran, please take it back from the top, please.
So we're going to have our inner children produce this week's episode.
Okay.
This week's hot button, because we signed up to Disney Plus and watched Encanto.
Nah, Francie, you got money because it was on the premium plus. No, I'm just playing.
I was like, was it? I don't know. I was just like, I want to know why everybody's talking about this cartoon, because I'm not a cartoon person. And I was telling Kia, we had like a whole convo about this, but I was like, I need to stop saying that I'm not a cartoon person, because it's more so that when I was little and lived in a house with 75,000 adults, ain't nobody was sitting down to watch Barney or whatever cartoon, because it just wasn't on that type of time, which we discussed last week. You know, I was watching Matlock and... You know how it is. So
I know how it is. I'm not a cartoon person either. Ain't shit sweet.
You don't think so?
Ain't shit sweet.
Apparently, you more of one now.
But were you never a cartoon person? Even as a kid, you weren't really into it?
I had a few shows that I enjoyed, but it was just because that's what the programming was. The shows that I loved more were like the original Degrassi and the original Degrassi Junior High and... You know, all the shows, like The Wonder Years, all the shows that were a child's peek into the real world and adulthood.
Like the coming of age.
Before I had come and was of age, I love those, you know what I'm saying? Those, yes.
Right. What about you, Asante? Were you the kid that sat in front of the TV with just cereal, Saturday morning cartoons?
What? I was watching Jerry Springer.
Yes, absolutely. Cartoons all of the time. Cartoons, so kid shows, everything. Like, I used to watch the live action shows. Like, I remember back when Sailor Moon first aired on like Fox or whatever, before Toonami picked it up with Dragon Ball Z and everything else. Back when like the random, like Static Shock was on, like all the little random cartoons, I watched all of those. And I told you I watched all the kid shows too. But like, you know, Nickelodeon, when they had, I always got to take it back to Cousin Skeeter. I'm so sorry, Megan Good and Bill Bellamy and all y'all. But Cousin Skeeter was just a moment. 702. It was just such a moment for me. But like, my childhood was definitely filled with like a lot of those like live action shows on top of the cartoons. And side note, this weekend was the first time in a very long time Saturday felt like, for me, I should watch some cartoons.
Oh,
but I didn't.
That's so
I played
cute.
Some video games.
But it's still like the kid in you, you know, that yeah. even wants to play that. Because I think that's the main reason I even got the Oculus and the Switch when you guys were, me, you, and Crystal would be playing Mario Kart. And Crystal beating our asses every time. Somehow, and you learning quickly. Look, and I did.
Look, today,
did.
Wig with a new wig.
Okay.
Wig looking like the wig. No, I'm just kidding. So character. Fran had like this me. Character on Mario Kart. And the character's hair was always just like taking off wind. More than the cart was. So it was just very noticeable.
And Asante would yell, come on, wig, when I was doing well.
Because Fran was always doing very well. I would see that wig dusting. That wig was dusting us at times. I was like, okay, that wig, come on.
That was her superpower. That's what her, that was her power.
I'm paying homage. I'm paying homage.
That was your gift. That was your gift. It was the wig, Fran. She turned that doorknob and a wig came on the door.
No, but Kia and I had a convo about the things that we do now as adults when we can to kind of like hang with that inner child that didn't really get the opportunity to do those things back in the day, you know? And we were saying even taking the time out to watch a cartoon, because I kept seeing Encanto, Encanto, like on the timeline. Everybody's going crazy. Everybody's saying the we don't talk about Bruno.
I love that.
I mean, Bruno. Like, I was like, this is crazy. And then the same with what's the Coco one? With the grandma.
Coco Lemon. Clemens from SWV.
That's the cartoon that kids watch. But there's a Disney movie with Coco something. Oh my God. This
Coco Tea. Ice Tea's wife.
Y'all didn't watch it? Hold on. Mm-mm. It's going to kill me. So
this honestly was the first.
Coco Taylor. I know she's a blues.
This was the first like newer Disney movie I'd watched in like a, you know, in a while. Because I haven't
really? Too,
and I was even though I was blown away, I was a little let down in certain areas too. But we're gonna get to that in a minute.
Right, we ain't there yet. Also, the movie's actually called Coco. Like that was the whole name.
Yeah, I was gonna say, are you talking about just Coco? But then I thought just Coco was gonna sound like what I was saying. So I
people are in love with that.
It is honestly, I cried and I was like, I'm crying at a Disney cartoon. Like, wow, how time
on Coco or Encanto?
Coco.
Okay.
No, Encanto was, like, cute, you know? Like, I mm-hmm. love the music. I thought they went in on the music. That soundtrack
the music
was crazy.
The music was incredible. Phenomenal. Ain't Lin-Manuel Miranda behind that?
Yes, he is. Mm-hmm. And, yes.
That music was good. I love that music. That was a big part of what kept my attention while I was watching.
Oh, yes.
Same,
100,000%. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie, though. There were a couple parts where I did tear up. I don't know if I was just relating too hard, but I was just... It was just so hard. There were some things I was like, that's not... She is a child. What is happening? And then when they were trying to make up... Now, some of it was funny, but then some of it, because the way that they was reacting, I was like, oh.
Where that guess was going away.
Yeah, some of it made me cry, though.
And it some was apparently so, made me cry. It was so cute. And I have to say that it was dope to see them remember that Latinos are black, too. You know?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Because I feel like you don't see that. So to see even the little boy and the uncle,
he was one of my favorite characters.
He was so damn funny. Yes, him. Like, all those characters. I was like, wow, you don't see this. So that was cool for me. And for, you know, I imagine how many kids that are black Latinos and they've just never seen themselves. They always have people that look like Sofia Vergara or Salma Hayek.
Right.
You know, they just give them longer hair and maybe a red dress and call them spicy. Like, that's as Latin as you get. So it was cool to see
that
too.
Out I thought. That.
Yeah,
knocked
they totally did. Definitely knocked it out. The music. So wait, tell me, Asante, what were the parts that were emotional for you?
You know, it was just something about the abuela, right?
Oh.
It was just how hard she was coming at. Well, first of all, towards the end, that took me out. Because the way that the old girl was just like, oh, girl, you've been through so much. And like, when instantly I was like, woof, like that acknowledgement from her. Because she had been so mean that entire time. But for her to just acknowledge her pain and say, oh, girl, this is why you act the way you act. It was just kind of like, damn, like. That's all it took. I'm about to get emotional right now because I realized the abuela.
Yes.
I mean, yes. Because the abuela, she took her gift. She didn't take it, but in a way, she was the reason that the gift got skipped, and they just thought that they made it seem like old girl was broken. But it, like she said, she was like, at some point I forgot who the gift was for, and I was just like, so this is these generational curses being broken, but all of this is so deep.
It was so good. Go ahead, Dustin.
No, because I love my grandmother. Y'all know I just lost my grandmother in May of this year, of last year or whatever. So I love my grandmother. But if you would have, you going to tell me you ain't know who the gift was for? And I'm supposed to just believe that because I looked at my abuela like, it's going to be hard for me to get my point across to you without being mean, and you my grandmama. It would have been hard because what the fuck you mean you don't know who the gift with? I've been sitting here giftless in a house full of everybody special. This bitch lifting up pianos and it was older Colorado and shit.
Bitch coming down the fucking vines and shit.
Born with a lace front. You know what I'm saying? The little boy is a goddamn animal whisperer. Okay, Bendy. You know what I'm saying? and all because Abuela's ass. So I would have found that challenging. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, and you mentioned your grandma, and you know what? Strange enough, this is actually today that we're recording is the 1 year anniversary of my grandmother's passing, which is so bugged out that it's been a year.
I'm so sorry to both of y'all.
I know. Yep. So, we both lost our grandmas last year, but we had the opportunity to spend a lot of time with them, luckily, yes. And they knew how much we loved them, and that's always the best way for them to go. Yep. But seeing this movie, it got me thinking, outside of like us being kids and watching it and just getting into the music and the storylines, but it got me thinking about our own family dynamics, especially with our grandmothers and our parents. Mm-hmm. Did you have that dynamic with your grandparents or even your parents where it's like, that they're not moving or going about things the right way, but because we have that, like, gotta respect your elders thing, nobody ever says anything, to kind of like not put them in their place, because I feel like that's a little harsh, but you get what I'm saying. Like, no, to kind of to make things right. Like, you see how in the cartoon, mm-hmm. even Bruno, he's like living in a wall behind here. Like, mm-hmm. the girl don't have her gift and she's walking the little kid. I meant you said Bendy. She's walking Bendy to his door, which is extra embarrassing because she walking him to his gift and shit and she don't have one.
And but got nobody to deal with says all them goddamn anything. Animals. Go ahead,
But nobody ever says anything to the grandma, like even her mother. Everyone's seeing how she treats everyone, how she talks to everyone. But it's just like, you don't say nothing. And it just made me laugh because I'm like, well, not laugh. It's more so just like paying attention to how many of us are in those similar dynamics with our family where it's like nobody can say anything to these people. And it just continues on generation after generation, which is what I felt was a big layer and theme that was popping up in this movie. Did y'all see that at all?
Definitely caught those references and tones. And that's something that I struggle with in my adulthood, right? Because I'm not a person who thinks it's cool to be intentionally and willfully disrespectful to anyone who doesn't deserve it, but much let alone like your parents or your grandparents. It's just improper. And it's improper. You know what I mean? It's just not something that you should do. But there also exists a need to be honest and to be a clear and effective communicator as the adult version of yourself. Mm-hmm. Especially when, relationships depend upon that sort of communication. So where is the line, between you having an opinion, having a voice, having something to say, offering up necessary and helpful information without crossing an ethical or a line of respect, from one generation to the next? You have to struggle with that. But sometimes you just have to say what the fuck you got to say. You know what I mean? Right. Like, I'm not going to be the uncomfortable person in the room anymore because of some, structure or hierarchy that I'm supposed to abide by. I'm just not doing that. You know what I mean? No, you're not about to be wildly disrespectful to me. You're not about to be extremely intrusive, mm-hmm. if we ain't folks like that. You know what I mean? And I'm going to say something about it because I got to feel good. I got to be in canto.
Come on.
You know what I'm saying? So that's it.
I can't. Asante.
Did she get her powers by the end of the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ain't finished it.
What was her power?
She brought everybody together. Like, she was the person that fixed everything.
She's like the container. Right. She's like the container of the magic.
I just wanted to make sure that that was it.
The baddest mm-hmm. bitch.
But I didn't like that. I didn't like that. Because for me, it was like... Because I called that early in the movie. I was like, oh, so she ain't got no magic. So, what, she the soul of the house. Like, she's supposed to be the glue, or, like, she's the reason. Like, at this point, like, she's the soul of the house. So, at the end, when it was just kind of like, oh, the house came back to life because she, like, and it's welcoming her, like... I don't know why I just assumed that the house was going to appear and then it was going to be like, oh, yeah, by the way, here's your door too, girl. Like, that's what I wanted to happen.
It sort of did, though. She got the front door at the end. Remember, she got the best. She that girl. What they say on Abbott Elementary.
Well, she already has
once
the
again,
best house.
Mrs. You are that girl. That's what the house taught her.
She already had the best house. That she wasn't, you know, so much as feeling the people that was in it because, you know, the position that she was playing at the time. But to your earlier question, I did notice a lot of the themes happening as far as like generational. And also, friend, watching this, it took me back to a time when I mentioned I'm so interested in seeing how like wishes are like born and carried through. Like, this was a perfect example of like what that looks like when you watch, you know, families carrying on, like they had to carry on the flame, and they showed how the grandmother started out and how that lived on through her children, now her children's children. And then you also saw, you know, how they had to pull back and see things aren't perfect. So you saw mm-hmm. old girl, she was Bruno told her she was going to be in love with somebody else's man. So it's like, you know, these people are living in this house and it appears everybody's happy except for the one daughter that ain't got no magic. But it's like, everybody's not happy. So it's like, girl, you think that you're not special, but you're literally just like everyone else, which makes you just as special, if not more. So I like how that wrapped up in the end, but watching them cracks and then even the denial, like a lot of that was very real, and I felt like I was reading to some of it too much.
Well, no, we're adults, we're gonna do that.
Yeah, you and, know, I couldn't
you
help
know,
it.
I wasn't too offended by people not really having time for her. You got to think about it, like if you around a bunch of motherfuckers with powers, right? If we got powers, y'all, okay, we can do some, we got fucking powers, we can make some shit shake around here. We ain't really gonna, I mean, how boring would it be, you know what I'm saying, to kick it with a bitch can't do it? Like, if we can do it, you know what I'm saying, all of us can do it, maybe I'm lying with a birthday or something, you know what I'm saying?
But especially like, when you're looking at, like, each character, like, what their power was and what they had going on. Like, one dude, he's shape-shifting. He doesn't even know who he is, you know what I'm saying? Like, he keeps changing everything.
Yeah, but that was the thing, too. It's like, you open this door as a kid, and they tell you, here's your thing. You didn't get to choose it. You just, like, now become you. This thing, right? It chose you. And so... Like the little girl, the one you said with the lace front. Yeah.
The flower.
The blessed one.
The you more know, you she, know. Yeah.
She's just making flowers all day. And after a while, she was bored as a motherfucker. Remember, she made the cactus and was like, oh, shit, finally mm-hmm, something mm-hmm. that ain't perfect.
She had
or
that
beautiful.
Goldfish. I don't know if it was Finding Nemo 1 or 2, but there was a goldfish and she came down looking all sexy. That's that same, she got the same stems as that goldfish, I promise you. Because I was like, look at this flowing ass hair. This bitch thinks she doing it right now. Just like that goldfish. Go
she
ahead, girl.
Cute. I want the Barbie. I want the Barbie. But
yeah, her life was lit. She was that, once again, proving that she was that girl. Had the niggas in tow. You know what I'm saying? The grandmama was on her side. They was hooking her up. Like, everything was just, it was lit.
But then
her
the other sister
lovely.
Just lifting shit all day. Lifting yeah, the
she was lit
sheep.
Too.
And
her song
buildings.
Was lit though.
Her you song was it? So lit, and she was a real. She kept it real in her song though. She was like, she was.
It's
she
pressure.
Was really very
pressure.
Mary J. Blige. She was like, I'm tired of being strong. Sometimes I, you know what I'm saying. She, that was the tone of her song, her music. Yep. I felt that. She was. It was the first 9 words of "Act Up" by the City Girls. What Jay Z said, "Real ass bitch, give a fuck about it." That's who that girl. That's who the big. What was her name? Lucy. What was her name? The big girl. The strong girl.
Up the sister's name.
Right, we need to pull the up family. The cast.
It's on the tip of my
here.
Tongue, but pull she was an incredible tree. Character. She was incredible.
Encanto cast. Let's see. Who are the sisters?
Damn, that's why I like Bruno. That was John Leguizamo's voice.
Oh,
you didn't
John
realize?
Leguizamo.
I peeped immediately because he has such a distinctive voice. I was like,
I
that's
just
his.
Knew I knew his voice, but I was like, well, this ain't Lin-Manuel, so who is this thing? Because, you know, I just knew he was part of it. So I was like, well, is he one of the characters? But he wasn't. So I was like, Wilmer.
Oh, look. Valderrama. Wilmer Valderrama. That's crazy. That oh, and Maluma. Maluma Ooh. Was on it too. Wow, this is an interesting cast. I All really right. didn't catch that.
I want to come on the set.
So I mean,
that's my type.
But it just tripped me out. I think what the fact that the grandmother was so dead set on these powers, you know, and like you said, Asante, everyone stuck with it. But even the song, what's her name? The strong one is was it Luisa?
Luisa, ain't yeah. that her
right?
name?
I think yeah. it was Lisa. She had to put up with this shit and was like super depressed when her power was waning and going away.
This
and
is then, all she relied on.
All she relied on. But I love this. One thing I love about the Disney cartoons, too, is that they be mad layered because they know the parents are watching it, too. And then you sit down and you're like, this is not look good. There's mad messages. It's good.
You get caught
you
up in the story. You want to know what happened.
Yeah. It was so good. But it reminded me of a storyline. Not a storyline, but a conversation that I keep seeing happening on Twitter lately. Have you been seeing these conversations around gentle parenting and the war that it's caused? I don't know if y'all have been aware. I follow Absolutely a lot of moms. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the friend, idea... With the mom formation, let's go.
Right, the mom formation, mom Twitter. There's this idea that there's a gentle way to parent where it's not the way we were brought up, where... You know, you're not seen, you're not heard. What is it that they used to say? Kids are not to be seen or
Don't
heard.
Don't speak unless spoken to.
Don't speak unless spoken to. Can you think of a time your parent ever apologized if they got some shit wrong? Or Don't maybe they talk to you a little crazy and then they kind of come back like, I'm sorry. Like, our parents were not really raised to you know, work with us that way. It was very like, I'm the boss, my way or the highway type.
They wasn't raised to let us order our own food at restaurants.
Which is one of the ways that my child shows up now. Because, baby, I'm too entree Dustin over here. I will order whatever the fuck I want. I wish the bitch would tell me now I couldn't get something I want on the goddamn meal. Dessert first. I don't give a damn. Dessert and juice. I don't care. I ain't have no balance. Everything got sugar and fuck it. I don't give a damn. I want it. Go ahead, friend. Sorry.
And I remember, do you remember when you would see white parents when we were younger and they would like try to have conversations with their
like,
kids?
Like talk to them like they're equals. And okay, so what do you like, want to do next? They have a wallet? Like, they drive
some white. That's some white shit.
We would get, they go off on us. Because we saw that taking place. We didn't ask you to talk to us like that, and I hope you don't think this finna be no... You're like, wait a minute, bitch, I was just saying the motherfucker was like, talking was to me.
I ain't know it was new to me
because
option,
of
damn.
How mean your ass is. Like, so, yeah, you know.
But there's this conversation where people are torn because it's like, okay, if your kid is acting up or, you know, being disrespectful or maybe not following your guidance... You can't have a conversation with them about it because one, they're a kid, you're the adult, and they need to just do as told. And B, they feel that they'll lose their power
what
in
power?
Some way.
Superpower.
Their power
I will
as
fuck
the adult.
Your ass up.
As the adult in the household, they'll lose their power because
oh,
you'll
adult.
Start looking.
Oh.
Yes, they'll start looking at you. They'll start looking at you like you're a peer as opposed to a guardian.
The authority
as opposed
figure.
To the authority. That's exactly
friends.
What I was
yep.
looking for.
I ain't one of your little friends.
I ain't one of your little friends. How many times have our parents told us that? So that's the fear in this quote-unquote gentle parenting because it's like you need to know who rules with an iron hand in this house. Ain't Why? No conversation.
Is
okay?
that really revolutionary, though, in thought? Like, and I like that's how it is. You can't let your kids run over you. You know what I'm saying? Like, why are these new parents struggling with that?
Well, that's what I'm saying. These new parents, well, I don't even say new parents, but there's just people that are choosing to parent differently. They're Girl. Choosing to not parent with an iron hand and to view their kid as like you are an autonomous being that has the right to be honored, like your boundaries, your needs, your desires, how mm-hmm. you want to move through the world. Obviously, within you know, respectful boundaries. You ain't gonna have a kid cursing you out, screaming at you. And
I was gonna say, you might as well change your last name to Menendez, honey. If that's how you're raising your kids, because that's what's gonna happen to your ass.
Because they feel like if you don't want your kid raising their voice at you, why are you raising your voice at your kid?
So they won't raise it at me. Fuck you mean? Same reason I'm about to raise it at you for asking me that stupid ass question.
That's what you said. But you're not modeling the behavior.
It's just, it's so much more jarring. It's just so much more jarring when you as an adult have like
shrugged.
You've never raised your voice, and then randomly the damn child is like raising their voice at you, and then you raise your voice and the child's gonna be like, damn, I ain't never heard that. Let me shut the fuck up. Like not to say, but it's just crazy when parents are off rip yelling. I'm like, if you're yelling like that all the time, ain't they probably immune to that? Like, what? This is crazy.
You gotta have a balance. So
that's why I can kind of see like someone being like, oh, okay, well, I'm gonna let you do what you want to do, and then we'll just correct as we go. Like,
don't you think it's unrealistic though to let your kid think that it's gonna be moments in life where there's times where you raise your voice in life. Like, it happens when people get upset, your voice gets raised, and that they're going to see that. So it's better to learn it, you know, for them to understand that than living a walk around, the, you know, bumping into the walls and shit because they don't know what the real world is like. You got to let them know. It's real out here.
But what if they literally grew up in the house where people didn't raise their voice? So whenever they got voices raised at them, they were like, all right, well, I'm out because don't nobody talk to me like that. Like, what if that was part of where their programming came from?
Then the person that yelled is going to chase them down. They ain't going to let them leave.
No, but that's true because I've actually had this conversation because I'm not a yeller. Like, right. Y'all see my temper. You can see when I start getting kind of hot and you see my like attitude come out, but I'm not someone that yells. I can probably count on my hand how many times I've like yelled and gone off, but usually, and this is me pointing fingers, it's because a person pushed me to an edge where it was like a point of no return.
I believe that.
Friend, you know what I would give to just have one random night with you and you just start going the fuck off and raising your voice at somebody.
And look, how many years you've known me, you've never seen it, and nobody has seen it. Probably maybe only two people in my life have seen me go off where I just lost my equilibrium, but it was like, I'm hiring somebody one day.
No, I'm just, I can't do it. I ain't gonna play like that. I ain't gonna set myself up like that.
But that's why a lot of people I noticed, like when I would get into confrontation, especially whether it was not really friendships, because I don't really have issues like that with my friends, but let's say in relationships, romantic relationships, where y'all get under each other's skin, get kind of hot, get, you know, start getting boys to start raising. I've never felt like I needed to do that to get my point across.
Right.
And to be honest, I've actually found it more useful and helpful to keep my voice where it's at so you can hear how you sound. Like, sometimes that reels the person in because they're like, this bitch is so fucking calm and I'm over... Exactly.
Killing them with kindness.
I think it depends on the other person. Yes, and it depends on the other person because while that is effective, oftentimes there is a part of the population who is not responsive to that. And no matter how measured in tone you are, or no matter how grounded and centered and, you know,
they are who they are,
calm you are, they are intentionally being harmful with their language, intentionally being violent with their approach. They're doing those things to disrupt that peace that you present.
Yes,
so it just don't work. Some people you have to, you know, I know this don't really go
match
here,
that
iron,
energy.
Iron sharpens iron. Eye for an eye. You got some people you gotta, you know, motherfucking get in their ass. But for the most part, it is advantageous and most effective to, you know, take that approach to try to be the person who is reasonable, you know, and logical and still cognizant, still, you know, present
conscious
in that situation.
Yeah, yeah, you're present. You're fully present. And granted, like Dustin said, sometimes people just push you and you're human and it's going to happen where you're going to be like, fuck that. But it's, for the most part, I've managed to kind of keep it cool. So I always imagine, but a kid is different. Like, a kid will push you to the edge on a daily basis, okay? And they're not always intentionally trying to, but it's just because their energy, you know, kids are such balls of energy that a lot of times you feel like you can't even contain. And even just, even in saying that, you know, a parent trying to quote unquote contain a kid's energy, like I see especially my best friends, how they're just so exhausted because they want their kid to feel like they can be their person and not dim their light. You've seen those kids on the block that were raised by their grandma. It's almost like their soul got sucked out of them. They just walk quietly next to their grandma.
Head down.
Head down.
Nothing to say.
They become very meek versions of themselves. I hate to say it, but I feel like a lot of people
turn
that
into
were raised.
Meal when they get out the house.
It's almost like you got like beaten into becoming obedient, submission. Yeah, and the harm that causes to you as an adult. I mean, we had an episode similar to this about, I think it was called Compliance, where we talked about being the good kid. Being the good kid, being the compliant kid, how harmful that actually is for you in the future when you are in the, you know, workspace and relationships and not necessarily have the strength mentally and emotionally to speak up and have your needs met. And you'll just like take what you can get because you're being quote unquote good or compliant.
Right. And don't get you nowhere.
Right. And even in this movie, in the cartoon, I love that they're getting kids even thinking about those layers, obviously in a more playful, youthful, musical,
appropriate
colorful
manner.
Way. Yeah. Exactly. But it really meant a lot to me because you see how the Mirabel was like viewed as like the difficult kid, you know? Mm-hmm. Everyone's like, just stop. Like, you're always trying to start some shit. But it's really because she was just like, we can't keep doing this how we've been doing it. And kind of rubbing up against the grandma, where the grandma just kind of looked at her like she didn't even fuck with her like that. You know, after a while, she was just like, this girl's fucking annoying.
And
like
knew somebody. The little girl was right the whole time.
And
knew the
knew
house was
she was
up.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing with a lot of our parents and grandparents. They're so set in their ways that they might understand deep down why that one rebellious kid or the black sheep or whoever's the one kid that stands up and speaks up and just won't kind of like lay down and take it or be compliant. Yeah. But you end up being the outcast. You end up being the black sheep. You know, I'm actually curious, in your family dynamic, what role do you play? Are you guys the good kid? Are you the black sheep? Dustin?
Act like you know.
Well, because listen, Danette got trapped with two.
You know what? I am literally who I am. I am exactly who I am, no matter who I'm around. And I make a point of it, especially at this stage of me being late in life in my sunset years. I really am being intentional about that because I'm never going to be the uncomfortable person in the room. I'm just not going to do it. And so I show up as myself. Also to encourage my relatives that I love to show up as themselves, make them feel comfortable being themselves.
Yeah.
So we can really, you know, get to know each other and connect for real and have real lasting bonds. You know, that's what it takes, that sort of transparency and vulnerability. That's what makes family family, and you know, and what makes special friendships, you know, so special, that you can be 100% yourself. You know, and be accepted and respected. So I'd be just like this. Same Dustin. My cousins probably listen to this right now.
And
my aunts
could
listen to this right now. And they all know I'm respectful to my aunts. I love them. And I was about to say the F word, but I hang out with my cousins. You know what I'm saying? And that's it.
And you were always like this? Were you always like this even as a kid?
We just had to have the conversation. And once we had the conversation, that was the only thing that changed. You know how it sounds when you pull a shower curtain back, then rings slide across that bar? Whoosh. And once we had that conversation, it was like, that was it. You know what I'm saying?
You're so funny. What about you, Asante? Were you are you that kid or were you not that kid? Were you
you know what's funny? Before on this show, that kid deals. Before on the show, back when we did like Good Kid, Mad City, I think I was saying like,
love that
I was a good kid. Like, I think I remember, like, I think I was the favorite. But I think as I get older, I realize I was just the younger one. There was more attention given to me. Not to say that I wasn't the favorite, because, you know, I probably still was. But if I wasn't the favorite of or being a good kid, because there are a lot of times I think to myself, like, damn, you know, I used to get cursed out a lot. So maybe I wasn't the favorite. But I've always been the same, like, as far as, like, being quiet till I'm crunk. like as a child, I was just always very quiet in my own world doing like
that's
I remember
the title
just,
of your memoir.
Quiet till crunk. Like I remember just like getting away with shit when I was younger until like I couldn't. And I don't even know if this is what this really means, but I always remember, and I told this story a long time ago on this show, but like now it has different reference, I guess. I always remember when I was like a young child, I had on like these little overalls. My sister was holding my hand, walking me somewhere, and I had a ring pop or something, and she like knocked it out of my hand, and then I tried to pick it up, and you know, I was like literally a baby, so I was like two or three, I guess, and it was like one of those deep memories that I've just always held on to for whatever reason, because I just remember my sister being so mean to me. It wasn't even the fact that I couldn't have the ring pop back, it was just the fact that she smacked it out of my hand, and then wasn't like explaining it to me or anything like that. I just had no point of reference of what was going on, so I like held on to that for like years. I don't know why, but I just think to myself, like, you were always that child that just did your own, like, I've always done my own thing, like, no matter where I am, what I'm doing. And so whenever I'm doing my own thing, whenever I'm like one-on-one with people, I try to make space for them to do their own thing in case they don't have it.
That's real. I think,
what about you, friend?
I think I was I was gonna say a manipulative kid in the sense that I was good to get my needs met. Like, I knew what I had to do. You know, I knew with my mom because she was working during the day and then going to school at night learning English. So I had a very short time with her. So, you know what you need to do. Like, I had to just get good grades, make sure that whatever my grandparents reported back to her was good. And that just kind of kept the peace so that she could kind of go about her business and not be down my neck and I'm cool. But I was just an avoidant child. Like, I would just avoid being around people too much and saying too much. You know what I mean? It's almost like your life was just easier the less you were seen. And I think even as an adult, I kind of still take on that role a lot. Like, I keep to myself. I'm just like, people are just always going to have so much opinion and scrutiny and want you to be this way and want you to do that. And the more you stay away and be kind of a lone wolf, it's just kind of easier to move through the world. So that's the kid I was, where my mom said she'd come and be like, where's Fran? They'd be like, I don't know. And then I'd be holding a piece of chicken on a couch somewhere in some room, just watching cartoons by myself. Cause I'm like, I'm chilling.
Fran, we are similar in two regards, right? The first being doing what you want, or doing what you need to do what you want
to
do, right?
To get the needs met, yep.
Like, it was just something about...
So you could leave me alone.
Literally, it was something about... It was something about meeting everyone's expectations so they didn't have to worry about you. And exactly, you could literally get away with whatever you wanted. So,
and you can go back to your planet. And it's just like, the less you're down my neck, I can go back to my planet. And I think that's how I moved as a kid. And I still kind of move like that. I think that's why I'm in Portland. My literal own planet. It's like, why the hell is Fran in Oregon? That's a very Fran thing.
Mm-hmm. Number two, right? Because I'm taking two of your boxes, right? Mm-hmm. The isolation. And like, for me, my inner child, I feel like I've said this on here too before, but I will always hear my mom, when she used to say to me when I was younger, like, don't you leave the house. You don't got to be nowhere. Them people don't care about you. You don't need to be going. And like, just saying anything just to keep me from being outside at all hours of the night, or trying to go somewhere that she had to spend money on or put gas in the car to do. Like, anything and everything just to keep me inside. So it's like, when I'm in the house sometimes, I will tell myself anything and everything not to leave, because I just hear... Dinetta done told me now, them people don't care about you, don't leave today. And it's like, once you get past that one, here go the other one. Like, it's just always something. So, like, I'm taking both those boxes from you, friend. I hear you. Because
you
I
feel
see
me.
You,
you see me. And I think even in this cartoon, I saw, you know, that's why, you know, I was able to see all those layers. Like, how many of the kids were just making fucking flowers. I'm going to just go pick up this damn sheep. The other kids, now he's talking to animals. It's just like, I'm going to just do what I need to do. And then they kind of just stayed out the way. But Mirabel was the one that was like, fuck that. And I admire the kids. I almost think this newer generation, they do have that a lot more than we did. Mm-hmm. And definitely the generation before us, they didn't even attempt or entertain moving like that. But these new kids, I noticed, like my younger cousins, they will say exactly how they feel. And they don't care if it's grandma, if it's grandpa.
I love
if
that.
If it's your mama, they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you where you said something that, you know, was fucked up. Like, my little cousin would get so frustrated at family events that he just don't fuck with people. Like, he's like, I'm moving. He left, lives in a completely different state, made new mm-hmm. friends. Because he's just like, if y'all not, like Dustin said, if I can't be myself, comfortable, and feel okay being in y'all's energy, I just won't be there. Mm-hmm. And I saw, in like, on the Woo, actually, I did an episode that was a Q&A. Someone asked me, like, oh, you know, when you're going through your spiritual changes, when you're growing, when you're succeeding, how do you stay connected to people in your family that maybe, like, aren't moving like that, you know, or make you feel weird, or, like, you're an outcast or whatever? I was like, you don't. You take the dose that you can. You know, if you're someone that family's still important, take it in the doses that you can, and then don't. Like, I don't think we have an obligation. I personally, that's how I feel. Like, I'm thankful to the youngins in my family, because I think you can learn a lot from how they move.
Absolutely.
And me being an avoidant person to begin with, I'm that cousin that you barely see. Like, mm-hmm. that's the role I play in my house. In my family, like, I would mm-hmm. come to one Christmas every 3-4 years, maybe pop up. And even when I came, it'd be a good 30 minutes. And I'm back on a 3 train to Harlem. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it just, that's just kind of the role that I played in the family. Everybody fucks with me, but they also know that Fran is franning somewhere. And I think this cartoon is so cute because it's really pushing how these younger kids feel nowadays. And I mm-hmm. love that these younger kids are getting these themes put out to them too. Like, it's okay to tell someone that you're uncomfortable. It's okay to say, actually, I don't think that's right. Can we have a conversation about this? Why are we continuing these traditions if no one's happy? You know, like,
yeah,
communicate, speak, talk to your family about the shit that's going to make your generations struggle. And be challenged right. by family. If you want us to keep this energy going where we, like, love each other and see each other and come together outside of funerals,
right?
Then, like, how do we do that? How do we fix that? And the young kids seem to really care about that, because I personally didn't. So I'm proud of the ones that do. Well,
maybe there was no way for us to see that we could care about that. You know, we were right. children, and we was basically told, like you said,
baby speak steps.
When spoken to. So
there and it's was, baby steps. You know, every chapter kind of like helped the other one, the previous one or the one before it. Like, our parents' generation didn't say shit. Our generation kind of just stayed away. We just don't come around. And then the younger generation is just causing havoc.
It's healthy.
Right.
That's why
it's healthy. There needs to be a changing of the guards when it comes to all that kind of shit. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? And that's one of the mm-hmm. best things. What you never want to do is be the bitter old nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like things are going to change. There's going to be new ways, new processes of things. And when it works, and when the evolution makes sense, you support that. You encourage mm-hmm. those young people in your family, and you empower them to continue to be outspoken, as well as making sure that they back that up with having their shit together, whatever that looks like. You know that what I'm too. Saying?
Yeah.
You take mm-hmm. care of your business so that when it's time for you to have something to say, you can say it. Because that's mm-hmm. life. And so mm-hmm. I love this new energy and spirit. And my little cousins be saying some of everything
to their mom so and dad.
And I love it. And listen with open ears. That's the way it's supposed to be. Shit. It is. Well, you got to let that guys. In. Yeah.
I don't know if you have any last things you want to say. And parents, please watch this cartoon. I think it covered these layers. And maybe even make you reconsider, you know, the pressures that you're putting on your kid to be a certain way and not really paying homage to who they actually are.
Right.
I think the cartoon did it in a really, really great way that I'm happy how Disney moves sometimes. Like, the themes they play around with are really, really fly. Like Dustin said, these young kids are different.
They different.
It needs to be amplified.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hey, so let's bring in the wind chimes. I'm gonna make this one real quick. So I've been tweaking a couple of things in my new year. You know, I'm gonna be 40 this year, which is so crazy. Fantastic. I haven't fully face that. Like, that's a big age, but you know, I feel good. No one ever believes me when I say that I'm gonna be 40 this year, which I don't know how to feel about that.
We're not gonna believe you for some years.
Right. I have night sweats when I think about it. So I understand. Like,
it's the face people make when they go, "You're lying." I'm like, damn, is 40 that old that it's shocking to you that I am 40? But
it's like you're just so well preserved. It's like you still look like the same time. You still look the exact same for when I first clicked on a YouTube video to learn about how to make some lip chap or deodorant or something. Like, oh, you just got a different haircut.
Right? Different haircut and some pounds. But I still feel really good. And I was like, you know, I want to tweak this year to really kind of help me get healthier as a person, like mentally, emotionally, physically. I'm not really like a big resolution person, but I'm more of someone that just likes to make tweaks to my day. You know, like, what can I tweak in my morning? What can I tweak in my afternoon, my evening, my night routine that can kind of help bring the best out of me for whatever it is.
So you're just always on Twitter, huh?
That part. So I can kind of create a day that brings out the best in me and whatever it is that I'm trying to accomplish this year, right? So I want to be really healthy and strong, and I want to go into my 40s and this new decade just like feeling really good. That's a lot of why I moved out here. We've been going on hikes, daily walks, rock climbing. I mean, you name it, like just really taking advantage of my body, you know, and that I'm still young and getting out there and finding ways to continue to feel young and be young.
In love.
In love with a super, super awesome best friend of mine. And everything has just been super solid. And one tweak that I made, y'all, that has just been like life altering is that every morning I wake up, right? After I make
you
my
smoke
bed.
A blunt now?
No.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. That, I thought we was going to go somewhere, friend. I was about to me, say.
No, that would have me stuck to the bed. No. I'm not like y'all. Y'all are functional. I wake up, make my bed, you know, brush my teeth, drink my smoothie, and then I stretch. I do like a yoga stretch for 15, 20 minutes every morning. Y'all, I swear to you, life altering. I kid you not. I was like, I actually gonna make my playlist, because I turned it into a playlist on YouTube, just finding different stretch videos, and make a playlist that I'm gonna make public.
Yes, yeah, do
by
that.
The time you guys are watching this, I'm gonna have the link for you underneath. Obviously I'll tweet it out and everything on the Friend Zone Twitter. But every day I do a different stretch video. And it is such a good feeling, because I know now as you're getting older, I'm sure you guys can relate, when you wake up, shit be hurting. Like, and not even when you wake up, you just be sitting on the couch or walking and will randomly feel a pain in your Achilles, something to shoot up to your side. You wake up with your arm, a dull ache. I mean, it's always something. And I'm like, that's so uncomfortable for me. So like, how can I nip those future problems from getting older and stiffening, you know, how do I nip that in the bud? And really, the stretching has done wonders. Like, obviously, I'm only, what, today's the 25th? So I'm 25 days in. But I imagine if I'm feeling this way now, imagine what I'm going to feel like a year from today. Like, for real, for real. Mm. I wake up and my back don't bother as much. Now when I wake up, I don't have that lower back stiffness.
Yeah, I was going to say, which is huge for you with what was going on with your lower back before.
Yeah, with my injury. Yeah, my fall. And that was super helpful.
That's good.
Now, yeah, even like, I know Dustin's going to fit in a sex joke in here. I see it coming.
He's going to fit it in.
I was going to say, fit it
see,
in.
See,
right?
It was Asante. He said, fit it in.
Look, I was going to say.
You still had one coming.
Here's the setup, Dustin. I was going to say, how often.
It's already funny.
How often do you start your morning bent over?
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! 421.
How? Like really folding, really folding your body. That's it. You get what I mean, though? Like upside down, yep. Like really in that dog position.
You really, I mean, she had the worm on the hook. You hear me? Now,
when
she
I'm,
is dangling the carrot right in front of my face.
When I'm folded in that downward dog. And you give your legs that stretch. You do the little bend each side to side.
Oh, so you doing the bending. You doing the bending. Mm-hmm. What else, friend? Mm-hmm. What else?
There's honestly no feeling like it. You just ask yourself, how often do I wake up and this is the first thing I let my body do? You know, instead of just jumping into my day.
I'm so sorry, friend. I am not an adult. I'm not.
You get what I mean, though, right? Bringing that heat to your muscles early in the morning. It's important. Yes. It is helpful. I'm going to make my playlist public.
Thoughts of a colored man. That's all I got to say.
Please make
of a colored man.
So okay. Y'all can join me in being folded every morning. 15-20 minutes, all it takes. You be that's good. It.
Everybody walks away happy.
And that's it. For this week's wellness segment, ooh. I just wanted to put that into your awareness that it
put
feels.
Put that into your awareness.
Oh my God.
It's a very small tweak that makes a big impact. So,
they say it's the motion in the ocean anyway. So,
something to consider adding to your daily regimen. I promise you, I feel so good. It's giving me energy.
You know what?
I'm thinking clear. My skin looks good. Teeth are whiter. I'm telling you.
Yes,
all of the benefits, you know?
Yes, the friend.
I don't even have to say nothing because this was all on friend. Now, I don't want no, and I don't want no hate mail either in the comments. I don't want no hate mail because I was good. I didn't do nothing. Thank you, Asante, my dog. Thank you for showing up.
All jokes aside, please consider adding a daily stretch to your morning routine or your night routine, whatever works for you. I personally like it in the morning because it gets me jump started. Some people prefer it at night so they can sleep kind of stretched out and rest, you know, and it gives you a deeper sleep. I'm so mad at these two. For those of you watching. There was really no way to present this without it sounding crazy.
It
so
really wasn't. It really
consider
wasn't.
Consider it. Should
have leaned into it.
Asante, Mr. Music Man, what you got for us this week?
Well, we are back with another week of music. This is the first week that we get an official segment, but I'm actually not going to take up too much of your time. There has been so much time that has passed, so much music that has come out since the holidays, since last week even, and we talked about Gunna and the Push and P. But it's all about what we're listening to now anyway. So it could be something new, something old. It could be whatever you find that's gold. I just made that up off the top of my head. I need to write that down somewhere. Jesus. So we're just going to do a little listens lately this week. Nothing too crazy. Because, friend, you know, you just hyped up that playlist so much. So, you know, now more than ever, I am dying to know what you've been listening to. Because, I mean, you up here getting
folded.
Your life. folded. See, I wasn't, you know, friend. See, it's like Dustin said, it's all you, friend.
No, stretching.
Yes, stretching you. So Fred, I want to know what you've been listening to. I want to know what the latest is, what the greatest is, what the hottest is, friend. What you got for us?
So, you know, being out here, you are in nature, you cruising in your car down the street. I've been listening to very, like, you know, Tame Impala, that type of vibe lately. Mm-hmm. So there's a record that I came across called Idle Eyes by Common Saints. Have y'all heard it?
Mm-mm. Yeah, it's about y'all, that man that the pastor rubbed that spit on his eyes on that stage.
I don't want to talk about that.
Idle Eyes. That man that got that hawk on his face.
But this is a song that I know for a fact both of you would love, especially the lyrics, but most importantly, the vibe. Idle Eyes by Common Saints, and this is how it goes. Very shroomish music, I'd say.
Little acid trip.
Okay. And then I have to shout out my homie, actually, from high school. He goes by Cavalier. He has a song with Iman Omari. How cool is that? Ooh, and I love Iman Omari. So when I saw that they dropped the track together, they both live in New Orleans and apparently got really close and have been creating music together. I got so excited. Like, I love Iman Omari. He kind of is one of those artists like Alex Isley to me where they just don't miss. Like, everything he puts out, I love. So to hear them working together, I was excited to see what that would sound like. And it's called Are You Hearing Me by Cavalier and Iman Omari. And this is how it goes.
Can never be seen, never be felt. We just want to shell out my outbursts. Within is a level of hell. I try to repel the devil at outskirts. Need a counselor, bird an ounce first. While I'm watching my house burn to the dirt. Trying to outlearn all the doubt hurt. Being powered from that word. One thing for certain, nothing is certainly. There's gotta be a purpose. Starting to interpret this personally. I ain't really built for circuses. My circuitry, some nerve. Third eye, third degree. Lines and some blur. Permanent marks. You're concerned with my dark side by returning my heart. Internally scarred. Self-surgery parts of me discerning if it's self-serving or serving the God. I'm just turning the knobs. Tuning in to the ghost of my future self. Every blue moon I take the oath again. Renewal when the smoke's adrift. I'm finding new life on the shelf. By moonlighting as that hopeful kid who got so much to give.
But it's dope. He's a really dope rapper.
Yeah,
I like
really,
that.
Really, really talented. Kind of gives you that old school feel, you know, how songs used to sound. So that was a really good nostalgic feeling. And that's it. I think I mentioned JID and 21 Savage with Baby Tate's Surround Sound last week. Definitely. Actually, congratulations to JID because I saw that it made the billboards. It's like number 90 or something, which is super dope for him. Because think how many artists there are out in the world. And for him to make the top 100, that's like super, super dope. He super does. And then Kenyon Dixon and Tiffany Goucher put out a song called Love on Replay. Really nice, like sexy R&B ballad if you're looking for that type of vibe. So that's it.
That morning stretch.
That morning stretch soundtrack, okay?
What about you, Dustin? What have you been listening to?
This song is by George McRae. It's called You Can Have It All. You can have it all.
I like it.
Right? Some old hell shit. Yeah, this song is called Dead of Night by Orville Peck. sing that shit, friend.
Get up.
All right. So this song is called Dead of Night by Orville Peck.
Sun goes down another dreamless night. You're right by my side. You wake me up. You say it's time to ride. In the dead of night, strange canyon road, strange look in your eyes. You shut them as we fly. As we fly, Stark Hollow Town, Carson City lights.
It's vibes this week, as you can see.
What was that?
That's
on?
I like it.
It's called Pony. I don't remember. I probably.
It does give Euphoria, though.
Or that song, his song was just on something. That's all I was like. I hate to say it. It's a season for him, but he's doing it. Go ahead, Orville Peck.
Next song and final song is by Mary J. Blige from her upcoming album, Good Morning Gorgeous, that is releasing on February 20th. I don't know. It's coming out next month. But the song is called Rent Money. It's her and Davies, Rent Money.
This isn't Vogue, this is Bullet. I just want back what I put into this. And then I'll keep moving. All of my chips on the table. Cause I never got what I came for. Not even till I am stable. I spend everything on you. Spend my energy on you. Put that loyalty on you. I ain't got nothing left. I'm in over my head. Now I'm barely breathing. You know you're the reason, just trying to break even. You must be used to me spending. Look, now my rent money due. I spent everything fucking with you.
Yeah.
Wow.
MJB Davey's got a nasty ass verse on that motherfucker, too. So y'all need to listen to that. Yeah. Those are my selections this week.
Dope. Okay. Vibes, vibes, vibes.
Right? This is a good music, man.
I've got just a few songs I'm going to play, and then I'm going to give it right back to you, Dustin. This first artist I would like to play goes by the name of Guap Dad 4000. This song is called I Need Bands, because I need bands.
Drowning in Hennessy, I'm addicted to fuck.
Sorry, I love Guap Dad.
So,
I just heard this morning. It was on my
add to library and download.
It was on my new release radar on Spotify.
And every time Guap Dad come through, he come through with a little gem for me, and I receive it. Thank you so much, Guap Dad. The next song that I would like to play, I'm going to play a song, and it's the jam, and then I have a very random take afterwards, and then I'm just going to play the next song right afterwards, so just excuse me. This song is by Amalu, and this song is called Talk Quiet.
Oh, Amalu.
Another day, another dawn. I'm me trying to focus on my mind. I want it bad. We on the green list, you see this, now go give them more. Are you sure you're gonna be pleased for me when I'm no longer giving you my time? Are you sure you wanna speak for me? That privilege save for family ties. You're making a mess for me, you ain't finished that fast. Streets through me, you went the night through you. Right back, gave up so easily, but we healing days past. Wanna see me with no mask, but I wore the sweater. I ain't moved for night, whenever I'm sleeping, yes, I'm job on sight. And I get what I want.
That little dip there, and I get what I want. Like, that was, like, so, loving Amalu, so loving dope. Them instincts on the tracks, loving the production on that. That production just mentally took me to a place. I pray for a remix or an extended version. I pray for a version or an extended version with Lil Sims on there, because I just love hearing Lil Sims, because I don't hear enough of her. And I liked her last song, Woman. The video is phenomenal. We talked about her last year. Wow, I can't believe it's 2022 already. But I want more for Lil Sims, and I also want more for Amalu. That's why I played her song. But it would be dope if they linked up. Last thing I'm going to play.
You know Kelly Price would have mangled that beat.
Last thing I'm going to play, Kelly Price don't need no help, Luke. AG Club, I don't know if you've heard of them. They have this song called Mr. Put It On. I have not heard of AG Club. This is the first song I'm hearing, and I fuck with it. Heavy. So go off AG Club, Mr. Put It On.
I got this shit for the users. Niggas addicted to music. Come over here, get a hit of this cool shit. I got this shit for the fiends. I got this shit for the users. Niggas addicted to music. Come over here, get a hit of this cool shit. Come over here, get a hit of this. Punk rock, 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 hey. Punk rock, 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 hey. Get it, huh? Put my city on. Put my fit on. If you don't like my shit, bitch, you living wrong. What he want, what he fit upon. Spend his money on, Mr. Put It On. You ain't want this till I put it on. They don't bar, they just talk a lot. Me, I really rock. Coach shock, she say this a joint. Like her shoulder pop, bitch, I pop. But this isn't pop, this ain't indie rock. Shit ain't specific, it's general, huh? But when you talk, I ain't hearing you. This nigga talk like an interlude. I'm a profane, you might
end up. It's a dope track, the production's crazy, the verses are hot. AG Club, Mr. Put It On. Those are my three songs. I'm over here vibing and jamming as per usual. It's been great listening to what you all are listening to as well. And now I want to give it back to you, Dustin Ross. Please tell us what you've been watching.
Women of the Movement on ABC and Hulu. Mm. It's the story of Mamie Till, who was Emmett Till's mama.
Oh,
and it tells
what?
From her perspective. Produced by Westbrook, which is Will Smith, and also Sean Corey Carter, which is Jay-Z. So
missed the memo on this.
Six
I haven't
episodes.
Even seen anything about it.
It's only six episodes.
You said
it's
on Hulu?
Yep, go to Hulu. Women of the Movement. The lady that plays, the actor, I should say, that plays Mamie Till, Emmett Till's mama, is not Shar Jackson. Okay? You're going to think it is because they look so much alike, but it is not Shar Jackson. She's actually a really accomplished actress. She's dope. But she plays the hell out of Mamie Till. Every emotion you can think of is going to be stirred up in you. And I believe that they're going to go to the Emmys because there were some performances taking place in this thing. Okay, it is incredible. Watch Women of the Movement on Hulu. Please watch that. Also, what else have I been watching? Jocelyn's Cabaret, Vegas. Watch that on the Zeus Network app. Y'all know it's no secret that I love fights. There was a fist fight in the first episode. Speaking of fights, the One Mo Chance reunion. One Mo Chance at Love reunion. And I say Mo that way because it's spelled that way. It's One Mo Chance at Mo Love season 2 reunion. A bunch of faces and names that you probably won't be able to distinguish nor see ever again, but they will entertain you in the moment. And at this reunion, there is a level of ferocious fist fighting that goes on that I have just, there's a young lady named Roly Poly, who literally is so quick on her feet and light on her feet and does a trifecta. It was a triple pack of ass whipping that went on from the stage to the side of the stage to backstage. And I was impressed at her stability and also her her wherewithal as a fighter. She's just a natural fighter. I'd never seen anything like it. So watch that. Watch that. But back to more important things, Women of the Movement. That is my suggestion this week. Candy Burris has a new show coming on Bravo TV called Candy and the Gang, spinoff series about her old lady gang restaurant and some of her family members and the relationships amongst the team there. There's sex, there's relationships, there's restaurant related issues, work related issues, romantic issues. It's going to be so damn good. And the old lady gang is in full effect in this trailer, giving us all the things that we love about them. So make sure you check that out on Bravo. Oh, Power, Ghost, baby. Ghost.
I saw that clip.
I ain't gonna say too much, but Monet, baby.
I saw that clip on Twitter. I'm like, okay, I gotta get back in.
You gotta watch it. Monet hung somebody. And when I thought she couldn't get no meaner, because hell, they've been shooting motherfuckers since episode 1 to season 1 of Power. So I'm over, like, the gunshots don't really affect me no more. But Monet went and had a conversation with somebody. And next thing you know, all you see is the toes hanging from the ceiling.
Oh my God.
I said, God damn. When I thought Monet could get no more vicious, she done hung somebody. I didn't know they was doing that shit in the hood. Monet was in present day New York and hung a motherfucker alive.
That's insane. Only 50.
Just watch that show, please, because it's so good. And that's all. And I have Euphoria. For TV, man. Oh my God! Don't even get me started on Euphoria.
Ooh, Euphoria, I'm so once again.
Episode 3, nonstop. The cinematography alone is a reason to watch Euphoria. The writing.
Lighting.
There's so much. But and Zendaya, once again, she's gonna be right back on that Emmy stage again next year because she's acting her ass off. And also Storm Reid, shout out to Storm Reid, who had her hair like T-Boz last time I seen her. She was doing an interview, she had like a blonde coif short. You know what I'm saying? It was just like T-Boz. But shout out to Storm Reid. Storm Reid is acting her ass off this season on Euphoria too, because that scene between her and Rue where she expressed her frustration with Rue's like drug use or whatever, that was so powerful. And they just, the way that they were playing off each other, their chemistry as sisters is incredible. You really think they're fucking sisters for real. So Euphoria.
They really
and
do
that's
look
it.
Alike too.
Yep. And congratulations to Monique Samuels and her husband Chris Samuels on leading the cast of Love and Marriage DMV, the Love and Marriage Huntsville show we always watch. They get the DMV spinoff led by a cast built around Monique and Chris Samuels. So Monique, they got a new show, y'all.
Upgraded.
So, yeah, so that's it. That's all I have to say.
Are you watching Ladies Who List Atlanta?
I have. I wasn't watching it on purpose, but it came up. And
yeah,
it's good.
Same. Okay.
That Robin lady was tripping. Yes. How you gonna get mad after you did her dirty and she don't want to work with you? And then the attitude she got once the girls expressed that they didn't want to work with her. I'm like, right. How you expect them to be down for your plan if you literally spazzing when they bring up some foul shit that you did?
And then you go, this is why I don't want to work with women.
What? Baby. So it's one of them friends. But I also felt like them girls had a little bit too much gas for her when they was telling her the shit they was mad about. Play it cool, mama. She know what she did. You know she was wrong. She knows she was wrong. Either give her that 100% Tasmanian devil energy or take it to the playground. You understand what I'm saying? Because the two, it just didn't translate well. And if you watch the show, You know what I'm talking about. Thank you. That's it for TV Land.
I watched the special on Jen Shah. It was like a 2020 special.
Oh, what was it? The Shah setup and it was something. I forgot what the title was.
You watched it? It had me like that girl. What?
It always comes back to that all-time favorite right there. Thank you for that, Jen.
And this woman is still on TV. I mean, they have the old people crying.
Look, you should have seen the one that they did for Erica Jane. Meanwhile, the way that they rolling Jen on her season, they didn't even give Erica Jane half of that because they was all scared of her ass. But Erica Jane's was just as bad when they showed the victims that her husband got.
Who is she? She's
on Beverly Hills.
Salt Lake? Oh, okay.
So hers came first because her scandal came out first, and so she had the Hulu special. And now it's now Jen Shaw's
turn. She's
the
one that her husband was like
took the money from the victims.
See, I didn't find that. I'm gonna look for that. It's funny because I'm not interested in the actual shows, but I'm fascinated that they're doing this to keep looking bankrolled. It's like
that
girl.
One's called The Housewife and the Hustler. I wish I could remember what Jen's is called, because Jen's is called something ridiculous too.
It is, and I can't remember what it. I can't remember it, but I can see her face on it, though. I can tell you that. Okay, well, thank you. That's it for this week's episode.
And
you know what? I ain't even gonna
episode.
Say nothing. I'm sorry, friend. One thing I ain't even gonna say nothing about Jenny.
The Shocker.
I ain't gonna say nothing about Jenny Nguyen from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. I never did Lord. Like her wooden tooth, corn kernel tooth having mouth ass from the moment I met her with that puppet mouth. Every time you seen her, it looked like she had a wooden jaw and so she was sitting on somebody's lap. Every time you seen her, I can't fucking stand her. I never could. And I knew she was a dirty, low-down bastard. And these racist ass posts that was not deleted and wasn't not from no damn years and years ago. Bitch, you dirty ass bitch. You was just posting that shit during the George Floyd thing. And that's why they fired your ass and issued a public statement. Kudos to Bravo for doing the right thing. I love Bravo Television and they are not perfect. They are not perfect by far, but they handled that right by throwing her ass up out of the door because she don't deserve to be seen on television because she shouldn't have been there in the first damn place. And that's why she looked a fool at that reunion with them big, thick-ass, cinder black-ass shoes on up underneath that dress. I can't stand her. She needs to discipline her cheering because her daughter's out of control. And good riddance. And that's it, friend. Fuck Jenny. And that's it.
And on that note, we love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We're so happy to be back. And we will catch you guys next week. Don't forget Patreon. Click that link.
Yes,
we'll be on StreamYard later today.
That's
5
right.
p.m. PST, 8 p.m. EST. We'll see you there. Asante, take us away.
Until then, stay black and protect your magic.
Bye.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.